G'day and welcome to Frontiers. I'm XQ, joined by Old Man Hurston himself. Hagrid, how you doing?
I'm pretty good. And I'll keep Old Man Hurston locked away at the moment.
Oh, that's cool. I'm getting sick of him. I'm going to kick him back in a closet.
Yeah. He has his moments.
Joined today.
He likes to try and make me spend money. He's a horrible old man, really.
Oh, he's about to have a field day down at AIE then with all the ships we're seeing.
Yeah, he's looking forward to AIE. He's got a few ships he's eagerly looking forward to, and I'm dreading.
So I've kind of got a good one today for people that are fairly new to the game, and this might be a cautionary tale. Would you? So I'll introduce Dexley. How are you doing, Dexley, the voice in the void?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. How are you?
Good. So would you call this potentially a cautionary tale for other new players? Would you be willing to go there and put yourself under the bus, so to speak, for other people?
Yeah, I guess I'd be willing to go there. Like, I feel relatively new to, like, a lot of the game mechanics and have made some mistakes.
So you're telling us that you kind of started following the game in 2015, but you really only kind of started purchasing ships or being able to play the game, I think you said. So you didn't have access to a PC, is that what it was? Or
yeah, I had a laptop that just could not run it. It would just pretty much crash or run at 1 FPS until pretty much the start of this year. So was able to finally start playing around March.
And now you understand why I don't like laptops. Anyway, that's a completely different story.
And since March, you've gone on a spending spree, is that right?
Yeah, a little bit.
So I guess we'll flick over to his fleet, but the first thing that I noticed was, like, this is a smorgasbord of ships from this year. That's what I saw. Did you see the same thing, Algrid?
I was from the chat where he'd initially gone in and had engaged with members of our community on our Fix My Fleet channel. And I looked at it and I'm going, okay, from what you tell us you want and what you're saying you want are two different things. So
yeah,
it was, yeah.
So this is definitely one of those fleets from my perspective. That was it. It's not about the difficulty of what ships, no pack tricks or anything like that, or having to find rare CCUs or losing discount. Yep. It is purely just one of those newer people stuff about, again, trying to understand what gameplay you actually want. And as will anyone here will tell you, we don't have a lot of gameplay in the game at the moment. So a lot of it is like trying to envisioning what you want to do and go that way. And then the other part of this was like, Dexley wants to put more money into the game, and we gave him options. We were like, we can just spend what you've spent again. Do you want to go further in? Do we want to see what the future? And I think we'll leave that for Dexley to say, but after we reveal what he decided to do. So, yeah. Because then we get in less trouble, don't we, Agri? We always get in trouble.
We get in trouble because everyone says, you got him to get all the big shits. Where's the daily driver?
Yeah, so.
What do you want?
So we'll go from there. So I'm flicking over to the browser, and this is your fleet as it stands today, Dexley. So I'm going to get you to go through and kind of tell me why you chose to do what you've done. I guess we'll start with all these small ones over here. So we've got lots of little Steves and moles.
And moles and, yep.
So what are they for?
So the Steves I got because by that point I had obviously talked to a few people and they had kind of explained the whole how you get LTI stuff, and then if you upgrade it to something you want that's not LTI, that ship now has LTI, and that I had already wanted that concept, the fact that I wanted to get rid of anything that was non-LTI. And so someone kind of also made that point of saying some people will buy multiple like cheap LTIs, so that later on, they have multiple upgrade potentials to have LTI on it. So I grabbed those guys, and sort of the same thing with a bit with a mule, but it was also the fact that I just wanted to own a mule and an STV because, hey, why not? It looks fun.
Yeah, Algren and I struggled with that as well. After we actually drove it, it's like, oh, shit, this is actually kind of cool.
I got to have that. I don't normally like buying Drake. It's not that I dislike them, it's just that, you know, if you've got one vehicle, you've got them all. But having driven the mule, it was. Okay, money down.
Same thing again with the Cyclone, I assume?
The Cyclone was part of the Mega Exploration Pack. So it was just kind of like, I wanted a few main ships. So with moving on to, I guess, the Exploration Pack.
I was just going to really say, wanted... hang on, just real quick. The Dragonfly as well? Just to knock all the smalls out.
That's part of the pack as well.
Yep. All right, so let's start with the Pisces then. Is that a part of the pack as well?
Yep.
Cool. So, mate, all right, explain that pack for me, and we'll probably knock off all those ships this weekend, and I'm going to struggle because I'm trying to remember that pack. I know it's got the Carrick in it, and I think it's got a few other things as well, but you've got Carrick. The Mega Exploration Pack, which is not the best value, but just tell us the ships that are in that if you can, Dexler.
Yeah, sure. So the ships it comes with the Tumbler Cyclone, the Pisces, the Carrick, the Terrapin. Originally, it's supposed to also come with a 315P Freelancer Durr, Constellation Aquila, and I feel like there's a 600i, I think, as well, and maybe one or two others I forgot about.
So you've upgraded and modified a few of those then?
Yeah, I upgraded a few of them. Ships that I was really looking at going, you know, I don't really need them. And there was other ships that were in the store at the time that I went, oh, I really would like them.
All right, then. So so any that just, if you're not interested in them, just tell me they fall under the pack thing. If they are something you're interested in, just tell me that why you're interested in them. So let's have a look at this. So the Centurion, why did you go into the Centurion?
Centurion was not a pack thing. It was a standalone War Bond LTI. So it's kind of like it's on War Bond at the moment, so it's cheaper and it's LTI. I want it. But I also wanted a ground vehicle that was anti-air because I like a bit of that sort of jack-of-all-trades style of play where you've got something that can kind of work in any area. And I'd seen people using the Ballista and went, yeah, cool. Hey, it's something that's different but still along the same lines. So that's why I wanted to grab it.
Wait, Agrid, I got to get this right. Here. I got to practice. It's totally opposite. It's like pinball. It's like pinball. Anyway, such a pain in the neck. Anyway, Scorpius.
It was. Got me right in the neck there.
Yeah. Scorpius, please, Dexley. Sorry, don't mind us. We're immature as shit.
The Scorpius was one of the ships from the Mega Pack that I upgraded to. I got that because two main reasons. One, it was labeled as a heavy fighter, and I had previously flown stuff like the Vanguards, and I went, oh, the sounds of a heavy fighter would be awesome. I would love that. And then also the fact that it looks like an X-Wing from Star Wars.
Yeah, which is probably why it beat the Redeemer in the vote. Curse you, Paul Shelley. Anyway.
Righto, Clink.
Yeah. The Eclipse. It's pretty good at the moment, kind of a bit meta with the Bounty Hunter quest, isn't it? So I think that's why you've got this one, but you correct me if I'm wrong.
No, that's pretty much it, yeah. When I was new to the game and I was asking people different ways I could play, and people suggested bounty hunting, one of the ships that people ended up suggesting was the Eclipse because it could even do ERTs, and it was a very, very simple, super quick method. If you just flew in, dropped a torp, flew away, and there you go, target was gone. I also do generally like the look of it. It's a stealth bomber. It's very sleek. It's kind of got that look of modern day stealth bombers, and I love the look of that. So I just went, hey, this is, you know, a win. It's got the looks and it's got the purpose.
Fortunately, it's got that very expensive combat tax. I actually have one of these at the moment myself, which is I upgraded to it a couple of years ago to get that best in show skin, and it's going to turn in. I believe it turns into a bigger ship. I can't remember which one. I saw an Eogrid too. I've got to do the Excel sheets again because I've just forgotten everything. But so for me, it's just sitting there because I got the best in show skin for it. So yeah. But anyway.
Oh, it's also a ship you also at the present like flying.
Yeah, so. Well, I hadn't flown it at all, really, and for the same reasons that Dexley just mentioned, that's why I've been flying it, because it just is ungodly good at... Well, we did it on the live stream, didn't we? It's ungodly.
By yourself, you just fly in, drop a torpedo, bang, it's gone, fly away.
Which is probably still how it'll be in the final game. If you want to kill something, that's the ship that do it, but it's just really priced high considering you know, $50 and you're at an Endeavor or a Crucible, or you know, you know, $25 you're at a Redeemer. And Redeemer's not the cheapest ship anymore either, let's be honest. But if
you're going with, say, another player, then having a Redeemer or a Hurricane I think are probably better for doing those types of missions, but you know, so yeah.
Right, Gladius and Terrapin. tell us about those in your preference choice order.
The Terrapin's part of the Mega Exploration Pack as well.
Okay, cool.
I do like the look of it. I found that I haven't been flying it that much, and I would probably be willing to get rid of it because it at the moment doesn't really serve much of a purpose to me. It's not exactly the strongest ship. There are other ships that can do the same thing. As for the Gladius, that was just a bit of a. I went, well, hey, I've got a Steve. I had a Steve, and why not upgrade it to a light fighter? I have looked at the Gladius as well, and like again, it has that sort of a look to a modern day aircraft. It's got sort of that fighter jet look. So I went, yeah, this would be great. And I saw some flying around, and went, yeah, why not? I want one.
All right, the Mantis and the Legionnaire.
Mantis was due to the fact that I was playing with my mates, and we were doing a lot of like sort of a mixture of bounty hunter, but then sometimes we were doing the more opposite end where it was like illegal stuff, like hey, let's go, essentially trap someone and mess with them. And I pretty much looked at Mantis and went, oh hey, this literally can stop people from getting away, and that's what I was seeing people were able to do. And considering when I literally first started playing the game, someone started messing with me with a Mantis, I went, yeah, it can be kind of effective.
Yeah. It's slowly coming into its own, that one, which is good to see.
I've got to admit, I do like the look of the Mantis. It is one sexy.
Got a Star Trek look to it.
If they can put this shit back up into more RSI ships, they're... Like, if you take this and grow it up to a Connie, it's like, oh...
Yeah.
What do you call it? Chef Kish.
Yeah. I thought that it was a Connie Razay, cut down Connie. It was just everything that RSI was, that just got it in spades, and then there were no struts as well.
It seriously looks like a Star Trek ship when you're flying it.
All right, so the Legionnaire.
The Legionnaire was another one of those Warborn LTIs. It was just announced, obviously, when a new ship's announced at the store. And again, because the fact that a lot of the guys I play with, we've been doing a lot of combat-related stuff, whether sometimes it's bounty hunting or it's the more legal stuff, I went, hey, a boarding ship. That would also very well fit into what we've been doing. And I also just liked the look of it. It was strange in a way that I really enjoyed. So I went, yeah, of course, I'll grab it.
Sorry, I'm just playing with Agrid's head.
Yeah, I saw that. I was just ignoring you.
It was like Tweety Birds. Sorry.
That was Tweety Birds flying around after you'd scold me in the head with the...
Sorry, I'm having way too much fun. This is why I normally have the cursor turned off. Right. We've got the Spirit Series. Why did you pick these up?
I picked them up because when I saw them pop up in the store, I had a look at the design of the ship, and I just went, that thing is just sexy. It's very sleek. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that it's a bit of a smaller ship as well, because, you get a lot of those really big ships with sleek and nice looks, and I went, well, hey, this is that sort of contender to a Freelancer or a Cutlass, and which I like that sort of middle range. So I went, oh, this is just a beautiful ship. It looks similar to the Mercury Star Run as well. I've flown that before. Went great.
Quick question. I think both me and Agrid would like to know, if you could only have one, what would it be of the spirits?
Oh, why would you do that to me? It's a tough choice.
And horrible and nasty. And
if I had to pick one, maybe the A1, because I like the vertical launch system of its bombs.
All right. Astropub's favorite ship, the Redeemer. Why do you have this?
It's a gunship. Need I say more?
No, you do not. I understand it. Anyone that doesn't, just GTFO. Right. Freelancer.
Just watch one of our episodes on Redeemer and you'll find that info.
Yep, sorry.
The Freelancer was the very first ship that I got way back in 2015. That was the ship that I got when I went, okay, I'll just start with this. Eventually, I'll play the game. If I like the game, I can look at getting more ships. So it's a bit of a nostalgia thing for me.
So was that your starter pack originally? Or
my starter pack was the Freelancer pack that got me into the game, yep. Mm, and it was also in the store with the STV for LTI. So I went, hey, I'm getting a pack where I can save a little bit of money, and I'm getting two LTIs out of it. So win-win.
Okay. All right. The Expanse.
It's a mobile refinery. I looked at it as a, you know what, it's super ugly, and that's what I like about it. But also, that sort of jack-of-all-trades, I like to have, you know, gameplay that's outside of combat and a bit more just, you know, mundane, almost like a day-to-day job kind of thing of the Star System universe. And I went, well, hey, I like mining and the cargo, and this is a refinery. This is something so that I could take that ship and a mining ship out to the middle of nowhere and then just do everything I need to do without having to come back to a station until I'm ready to sell.
Sounds like you'll be like one of those people looking forward to the Drake Landmower or the Argo Grass Grow or something like that. I don't know. But yes. Just the way you said mundane there, I was like, oh, I don't think any of these ships are mundane, by the way. I think they're quite interesting. Well, to me anyway, but yeah.
Oh, I meant like mundane sort of jobs. Like, if you compare it to, you know, real world, there's some jobs you might consider, oh, yeah, it's a bit boring.
A Vulture.
Again, just very unique sort of a look to it, and I kind of like that. I like the fact that it has, like, that prong sort of look to it. To be honest, when I looked at the prong system, I didn't even know how that was going to be used with the ship, and I already went, I like where it's going. I like this idea of that, you know, who knows, maybe it's going to grab ships, or maybe it's got some sort of a, sort of like a gravitational beam where it traps things in it, and then obviously its purpose as well. I went, yeah, you know, it's against a bit of that industrial side of gameplay, which I think would be fun to do when you're not doing combat missions. So I like it.
There's also that possibility that that salvage gameplay will actually also tie in with, say, refinery.
Yeah.
As well, so.
Agreed. All right. The 600i, it is up for a rework shortly, and I must admit it is looking a lot better than it has previously. So why? This is very different from everything else you've got. To me, this is one of those ones that I see as an outlier from you, but you tell me why you've got one. I'm really curious.
Well, when I looked at the potential packs to buy when I made the original choice to get the Mega Exploration, it was one of the ships in the pack that I looked at and I went, I actually really like this ship. I would love to fly it. I had people describing the ship to me with the whole how it's very powerful. It's got strong shields. It's got very strong guns, and it's very capable of doing even a lot of combat missions. But then I just thought it's a ship to kind of go outside of the normal stuff. You know, yes, I may have the main sort of categories of gameplay that I like to do, but I also like the odd ship that's completely and utterly not in those categories, just so I have something.
So it's
I went, well, hey, luxury.
Yeah, so you're trying to try different gameplay. I get that. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And the Carrick, the ultimate exploration ship.
It's a Carrick. I just don't even know if I should be saying more about it. It's Carrick, that should speak volumes. But yeah, no, that was the main reason I chose the Mega Exploration Pack. I'd seen a lot of YouTube videos of people flying the Carrick, and it's an amazing ship. I love it. Like, it's got a very Star Wars kind of vibe to it, which I love. It's massive, which in the game, there's not a lot of ships that are big that you can use for multiple purposes. It's a really good example of a multi-crew ship. I actually strangely like the fact that the pilot doesn't get to control any weaponry, because it's forcing you to have people to play with.
I like that as well, to be honest. I can be honest with you. I think that promotes teamwork. It really does.
Yeah. And I also like the exploration side of it. The fact that, you know, it comes with medical bay. It comes with all these, like, crew quarters and living expenses. That means that you can just choose to live in that ship and not touch a station for who knows how long and just enjoy living off the grid kind of thing. And because of its size, it essentially is, it's like a RV. It's like your own mini home. Like, yeah, you've got some other exploration ships that are a lot smaller, so you're a lot more limited in what you can do.
Still got some things to give too. Like, one of the things Algrid and I were talking about this week, it looks like that Pisces is going to be quite, they don't call it module, would they? What was the word they used out? Swappable furniture or something like that in that video.
Something like that.
Yeah. So essentially, it looks like it might be. I want to use modular because that's what the wordage they use now. But it looks like you're going to be able to swap a few things in and out with that Pisces, and it'll be, if you think of it like Star Trek, it looks like it's going to be your away mission ship. So, you know, you put in a medical bed or a scanner, or you take cargo or whatever else. It's just basically taking the functionality of this thing and you are customizing it in the Pisces. Yeah. So
it becomes a true shuttle.
Yeah. That's the way to look at it. Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah.
So it's still got things to give after all this time. We're getting more stuff from the Carrick. And then there's other things too. Like we haven't got the armor on the windows. We haven't got the drones. The antenna or the drone. So there's still a lot more to come from this thing. And it's just getting better and better. What I mean by that is we know that stuff's there. But as it comes online, it's still got more to give.
Yep.
So yeah.
And it'll just make the gameplay in the Carrick grow.
Yeah.
So.
So after all this, Dexley's fleet was roughly, he gave us a cost value of around $4,000. And the fact that he spent that in 12 months is not the worst we've ever seen, is it, Algrid? End of last year, the guy had spent like $7,000 or $8,000 in 2 weeks.
Yeah. So it happens.
Yeah. And so there were a couple of, like, the professions that he gave us, I had it written down here, I've got to find it again. Was combat, support, cargo, and exploration were his top four. And obviously, we then kind of worked around that, and then we started talking about other things. And where me and Algrid ended up, are you happy with where we ended up, Algrid? Or because to me, we've encouraged him. Well, we asked him if he wanted to spend more or spend less, didn't we? And we just let him guide us. So yeah,
we did try to stress. We can work out your fleet based on what you've got now without spending a dime and just rejig it to get those gameplay loops that you've said, these are my jam. Or we can go a little bit more if that's your jam, or we can go all in. Yeah. And your response was? Dexley?
My response is I'm willing to spend more.
Yeah,
I thought your response was, I'm willing to go all in. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was just trying to sound a little more casual about it.
But the going all in part as well allows us to help him with more savings and set him up. So, like, we can go in and buy Warbond CCUs. So but the other thing I want to point out is besides the packs, there are no savings here at all. So he's only got about a 10% on, I think there's two packs there, and they're both not the best packs, right? If you guys know your packs, they're terrible packs, right? So we're encouraging him to start afresh, and with the Warbond CCUs, he can beat the packs in just this one sale. Should be able to do that easily, right? So we'll flick it over now, and this is kind of where we're at. So this is drastically different from where we're at, but again, we have to go through it in steps. So these ones over here on the right, these kind of cover everything that he told us about. So with combat, we've got the Polaris and the Redeemer. So you've got two different size points there for combat, being his top profession. Support is obviously the Endeavor and the Crucible. So this gives him all his medical gameplay that he was after. We talked about several, I remember medical came up a couple of times. The Crucible is obviously the support of ships. When you go into cargo, Banner Merchantman. Now, you did talk about the whole series a fair bit, didn't you, Dexley? You're a big fan of that. But you understand why we went this way instead, though, didn't you? So do you want to tell people what we said, just so we show people that we've educated you a little bit? Do you remember what we said?
Yeah, I do. So it was kind of compared to the whole sea. It's a little bit similar in the amount of SC carry. And the idea behind it is that the Banu is a bit more multi-purpose, as well as the fact that its cargo is internal, which is a little bit safer and easier on, I guess, flying, as well as the fact that it's just, you know, a little bit more armored and weaponized.
And growing in price as well.
Yes.
And so if we can help you get that for cheaper, you're saving money. And also, if you think about it, a lot of stuff is going to be locked behind rep walls. So obviously an alien ship is probably going to be behind more rep walls than, say, something like a Hull E, you know? So a Hull E, like the Hull series is in... Agrid, tell them about Hull series from the whole series. Yep. Not Hull C, Hull series in lore.
Yep. The Hull C in lore is supposed to be the most common ship within the UEE. The Hull series itself is so liked by the Zian that they actually went into contract with Misk to actually build the whole series under license in Xi'an space. And part of that deal is why we have the Freelancers. The Freelancers are the first ship built with combined Xi'an human tech. and the humans were, you know, Misk was supposedly benefiting from his Xi'an tech in the Freelancer when they built them. So expect to see Hull Cs flying around the UEE, flying around Xi'an space. That ubiquitous. It is just so common. So getting your hands on a Hull C, even a D, in fact, any of a Hull series is probably going to be significantly easier than getting, say, a bespoke Xi'an trader or a BMM or
an option. And I agree, 100%. I've just realized this should be the Expedition Carrick, but that's what that is there. So forgive me for putting the normal one there. And then, so these three start to come into the outlier territory. And when we put this together, he was only roughly at about $3,000. So he had $1,000 left to spend. And I said, well, now there's multiple ways you can go. So if you lean into the utility stuff or the industrial rather, sorry, these two are almost $1,000. But then there were other things like he wanted more support vehicles. And this is the ultimate support vehicle, the Kraken. And that's when we started discussing all these different options, and he's decided to go more of that all-in approach, but also, you know, having credit and stuff like that, we can stretch this out and show him techniques with the Warbond CCU so he can reel that back in as well, but get more for less, essentially.
And I can already, you know, I can hear people saying, yeah, but he didn't say mining. But yes. When he was talking about the ships and why he had them, the refinery was there because it would work with mining.
Yep.
And so it was clearly something that, even though it wasn't a profession Dexley talked about, it was something that he was thinking he'd like. Yep.
And we did talk about that too, didn't it? The ships that are still to come. So like the Capital Refinery, the Capital Gas Miner, stuff like that. They are things that you are possibly wanting to expand into if they come out as well, Dexley?
Yeah, pretty much. I like the sort of industrial sort of gameplay, and so yes, getting into mining as well is something that I really like. I've had a very small exposure to it, and it's overall a lot of fun. It's very relaxing to mine away at stuff.
So now you've kind of gone all through this, Dexley, are you feeling in a much better place than when you ran into Algrenai before today, I guess is the way I'd put that?
Yeah, it's been a massive help. Like I looked at the Mega Exploration Pack and knew that I was going to obviously put more money into the game and get more ships, and only recently found out about the ways that you sort of save money with the game, and I went, well, I don't want to go down a rabbit hole where I build on top of that pack if the pack's not the most optimal way to go, and then eventually, you know, you go so far into that pack that it wouldn't make sense to then melt that and do something else. So I wanted to kind of nip it in the butt and fix the problem if it was a problem early.
And this kind of also here with your core ones over here on the right, you can kind of go as far into these other ones on the left as you want to go as well. So it's a little bit flexible of a plan. If you go back to his one back here, his original one, he's got lots of tokens, and all these ships, like besides the ones that are in packs, they're all like full price, so he can, and they've all got LTI, so he can basically just upgrade into whatever he wants. So he's flush, you know what I mean? He's not going to have any issues. But as Algren and I said, knowing you're going into, you know, multiple bigger ships here, you want to try and, you know, when you're putting the new cash in, if you can put that in with Warbond CCUs, you're going to be laughing because you're going to bring down those prices even more. And I do know Algrid's going to help you out with some of the stuff that he's got. So he's got some good $0 CCUs he's going to help you out with. And if you can get that to work, save him even more money. So, yeah.
Hmm. And I know a lot of people are going to say, but you've got an Endeavor and you've got a Crucible. Where are all the small ships? And I think, when you look at this, you're looking at, okay, if he buys the Endeavor now, he's got a Cutlass Red and a Starfarer to use in game. If he gets the Crucible now, I think he's got, I can't remember what the Crucible gives.
Starfarer as well, I believe.
Okay, so Starfarer. If you get the Banner Merchantman, you've got a Caterpillar and a...
I might be wrong. That one, Algrid's.
Can't remember. But...
But there's a few, like the Kraken, for example, is like a caterpillar.
Yeah,
I know that. And a hamhead as well.
So. And the Orion gives you both both the prospector and the mole.
One of the advantages of those loaners, Algrid, is you get to play with stuff now, and as they roll up, you get to get into the newer, better ships. So you kind of, and we've seen that with things like the Orion, like we saw the Prospector as alone, and now we've got a Prospector and a Mole. And, you know, if they bring in that new one, I would not be surprised when that landminer hits or the RSI miner, if you don't get that as a loner to play with while we're waiting for the Orion, you know, but we'll have to wait and see. So he's going to have enough to play with, but we've also suggested he probably, well, you talked about the Corsair, didn't you, Dexley, possibly getting that as a daily driver to play with. And we even said, if you don't want to keep that, you can always have an exit strategy to something else as well. But yeah, so you've obviously hit the game pretty hard. Are you going to wind in your spending after this, do you reckon, Dexley, or do you just think you'll keep going? Like the rest of us poor souls.
I think I'll relax a little bit in that, you know, I won't feel the need to try and grab so much because once you've got a good, like, foot in the door, it's a lot easier to kind of take a step back. But I definitely think probably continue to spend a bit over time here and there, you know, when sometimes new ships are going to pop up. Then I'll definitely still want to grab them. But I don't feel the need anymore, especially with kind of like where you sort of, the direction you're pointing me in, I don't feel the need to grab so many ships. It's been pretty helpful in that, like what you said before, where you've kind of gone, look at this ship, it can cover this role and that role. And I'm like, yeah, right, fair enough.
Dexley, are you saying that we have inadvertently cured Pokemon Syndrome?
I'd say...
And if we have, why didn't someone do it to me?
Oh, dear. I'd also say I was talking to a gentleman about a week ago or in the last week, and I just found this very interesting. He'd spent about $10,000 over 10 years, and he kind of said he'd done the math and looked back at it, and it basically meant he'd spent $10 a month. And when you kind of put it in that turn of phrase, I was like... Maybe that's not so bad. Like, like
cups of coffee a week, you know.
Yeah, but but if that is the case, that makes it a very. I've seen lot worse vices than that, and I know I spend more than that on gaming as it is. But if you go back there, and I think that's one of the reasons why we've got a bit more expenditure. I think it has got a lot to do with the time it's taken. But does that justify the expenditure? Probably not. No. But it does less. It does at least lessen it, doesn't it?
Lessen. It's not as if you're going out and you know signing a bank draft.
Yeah. So if you take Dexley that you kind of followed in 2015 and all of a sudden take that $5,000 and put it over 5 years, that also makes it in the neighborhood of $10 a week as well. So you can at least soothe yourself with that. You know, like just. Stroke yourself to sleep and go, oh, I'm not a psychopath. or whatever you want to call it.
I'm not as mad as thou.
Whatever you want to say to yourself. I shouldn't say psychopath, but you know what I mean. Like, I haven't swallowed the... I don't know what the saying is, you know, but I definitely have it myself. I feel like I've spent too much in this game, but like...
I think the saying I once used to hear is the difference between an eccentric and someone who's crazy is an eccentric has money.
There you go.
So
that's the difference between me and Algrid. Algrid's eccentric. I'm just crazy. So, yeah.
Well, I was eccentric until I got into Star Citizen.
All right. So anything you want to add, Dexley, before we sign off?
Not really. I mean, you've covered pretty much all of it. Like, when you were asking about if you've cured my Pokemon Syndrome, I'd say partially. I think there's always going to be a small part of me that's going to look at some chips and just go, ooh, I want this because I like it. But it's definitely helped sort of
narrow that
bring it in, rein it in a bit and kind of go, all right, is there a really good reason that I want it? And if it's not, then maybe don't get it.
Yeah, and that earned down economy is something you're going to be able to do very easily.
And don't feel bad about that. I've got to buy, you know, that ship's there, I want to buy it. Because we were Dex and I were talking before the show or this afternoon, and we were talking about the ships that are coming for IAE, and we're saying, yeah, that ship's coming, and I think I'm going to be
it's the first time in years where I'm like, shit, I might actually buy a ship that I hadn't planned on. And like,
the galaxy is coming and I think I'm gonna have to buy it, and I don't want to, but I think I am.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So, because I didn't plan for it. So it's just like, I'm like, ah, shit. You know, like, but we'll see.
But, guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
So don't feel bad. You know, we all suffer Pokemon syndrome to a degree.
Yeah, that's it. All right, so if you kind of like this kind of content, don't forget to like, subscribe. If you want to go the extra mile and follow us on Patreon, please do. I've added some extra roles on there too for you crazy people if you want to go even further. What else, Algrid? Anything else you want to comments? I think that might be something you want to hear from.
But I'll also, just before we do finish up, one of the things that we did get or did direct Dexler to do, because he was saying, I don't understand this whole CCU stuff, is we directed him to our CCU guides. So we've got one where we talk about what it's for beginners, an advanced guide. We also have a CCU guide that goes through turning the mule
into a Scorpius.
Into a Scorpius using Warbond CCUs that were available at last year's using Warbond CCUs and CCUs that were only available at last year's IAE.
Well, this year's Invictus actually it was, but yeah, close
enough. This year's Invictus.
But that is one of the first times we've I've never seen anyone else do it on film.
No.
So
no,
literally,
because no one wants to spend you've got to spend the money and apply them to make it work, haven't you?
Yeah. So we had a rare opportunity that we were giving something away, and it just allowed us to do that. And I'm going to be honest, I could have made a few other videos. Like I've recently assembled a Vulture and a Corsair. I probably could have done it with that too. Probably should have done it, I think about it. Remind me, I'll have to add that into the notes. But yeah. Yep. All right, so from the comments, we'd like to hear what are your thoughts on that? Because I know some people's like, oh, you've encouraged him to spend more money, but we've also gave him a plan where he can expand into what he wants to spend, and he can retract that if he wants to and stuff like that. So I think that's not a terrible plan. Do you like his final fleet? We did have to go through things too, like are you in an org? Are you playing by yourself and all that as well? So, and we did talk about that. So that sets him up to be able to play with an org and a small group of friends. So
And it was, you know, Dexler was saying, I do plan to play with an org or friends. So it was trying to cater to that gameplay loop that Dexler was saying he wants. So it's not just we're getting rid of all the small ships. It's trying to, as we always say, go end game and get those loops and be earned down for philosophy or earn across philosophy that can work. Yep. So
let us know if, as Algrid says, if we've leading him down the garden path. I was trying to think of how you say it. Yeah, that's it.
Leading him down the garden path and mugging him in the alley, or whether we're giving him the good oil.
Yeah, so yeah. All right, then, with that, Voice in the Void has been Dexley. Say goodbye, Dexley.
See you, everyone. Nice to meet you all.
Likewise. And he's been Algrid. I've been Execute.
He's been Execute. And we're out of here.
Catch you in the next one.